tanum tam aviklavam avriddham alakshya marasudana uvacha paramaprito bibratsvam parushim tanum tam aviklavam avriddham alakshya marasudana uvacha paramaprito bibratsvam parushim tanum. Tam, him, Lord Shiva, aviklavam, without being agitated by the incident that had taken place, avridham, without being ashamed, alakshya, seeing, madhusudanaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Madhusudana, the killer of the demon Madhu, uvacha, said, paramapritaha, being very pleased, bibrat, assuming, svam, his own, paurushim, original, tanum, form. Translation. Seeing Lord Shiva unagitated and unashamed, Lord Vishnu, Madhusudana, was very pleased. Thus he assumed his original form and spoke as follows. Purport. Although Lord Shiva was aghast at the potency of Lord Vishnu, he did not feel ashamed. Rather, he was proud to be defeated by Lord Vishnu. Nothing is hidden from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he is in everyone's heart. Indeed, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Whatever happened had taken place under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore there was no cause to be sorry or ashamed. Although Lord Shiva is never defeated by anyone, when defeated by Lord Vishnu, he felt proud that he had such an exalted and powerful master. So here we have the position where the devotee sees himself under the direction of the Supreme Lord, and that all the potencies and everything that's happening is also under the control of the Supreme Lord. So that these potencies act, and we're absorbed in them or carried away by them, you know, in whatever form it is, then the devotee's appreciating the power of the Supreme Lord. See, because then here, it's a subtle point, because we're giving up the aspect that I'm the controller and enjoyer. It's Krishna who's the controller of everything. Everything's meant for His pleasure. So that everything works very well in this way, the material function, the illusory energy, how all this functions, that's because of the Lord's potency. That's because He's in control of it. So for that aspect, then the devotee, seeing the Lord as the main aspect, then has that surrender to the Lord that Krishna is the powerful one. He's the one that controls everything. Now in this, now of course someone may say, no, but we're in the material world, we've done so much nonsense, how can he not be disturbed? One, that's the aspect that we think that we are the controller. We're the one that creates all this. We create our fortune. We create our misfortune. When actually the modes of nature do. Right? We can make choices within it, but we can only make choices within what we're offered. So we're not actually independent. We can take part in the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this material world, these pastimes of the Purusha. But it's not that we can define how they'll function. So that they're functioning in this way, and that they have the power to overcome the living entity, then we appreciate the position of the Lord and His authority. At the same time, then from the devotional point of view, then we are feeling, sad that we have made the choice to come under the control of His exterior energy instead of pure devotional service. So that's the place where the mistake is. That's the real point. Because if we focus on the secondary aspects, then we're simply comparing one secondary to another. If I'd done this instead of doing that. But the point is unless this or that's connected to Krishna, it's both wrong. There's wrong and more wrong. Does that make sense? So, doing what is in the material platform, doing what's recommended by scriptures, right, and all that, that's called piety. But because it's not connected to Krishna, it's still wrong. Right? That we don't accept the authority of the Vedic literatures and make up our own system of ethics, then that's more wrong. Right? And if we're just absorbed in sense gratification like an animal, and so we don't even bother with, you know, the social, trappings and all this, then that's most wrong. Because then we're just like an animal. So we have to understand is that we're not the one that's causing this. This is a lot of the reason we get entangled. Because we agree to give up sense gratification. But when we give up sense gratification and then engage in a higher activity, is that higher activity seen connected to Krishna? That's the important thing. So yes, everybody should be good and nice and deal with everybody in a nice way and be respectful. But what's our reason for that? We'll say, no, this is good, this is how people do.
cultured people do this. Yes. Have we noticed any Krishna in this statement here? No, and that can, you can go on for hours and never mention Krishna. Right? Unless mentioning Krishna is going to make your point more solid, then I'll mention Krishna. But in actuality, it's not about him. It's about, I value these things. I like to be nice. I like people to be nice to me. And so I've understood, you know, by some way or another, that if I'm nice to others, they tend to be nice to me. If I come up to people and I smile, they generally are nicer. I would come up and growl at them, then they, you know, you don't want to know what's going to happen. You understand? So, therefore, because of this, we think that I've done this, and so I'm bad, and others have done that, and they're bad. But in actuality, it's just the modes of nature. This is how you transcend, because we're not part of them. The soul's not part of this. So therefore, the living entity does not have to be involved in the modes of nature. Right? We're going to work within the laws that Krishna gives, but we don't have to function in the modes of nature. We don't have to be carried away by them. We don't have to be, overwhelmed by them. We just have to be absorbed in Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Because everything's happening by Krishna's potency. Everything. So whether it's external or internal potency, it's still Krishna that's controlling it. So now, Lord Shiva is someone who can't be disturbed by the external energy. We see his wife is sitting there on his lap. He's giving these nice discussions with the sages. He's not distracted. Kamadev comes to try to get him inspired, and he just burns him to ashes, right? And, he can't manifest again in an external form, right? So, these kind of things, he's above these aspects. But we see is because he wanted to see this Mohini Murti. Therefore then Krishna thought, okay, let's have some fun here. That's why I said before, he was both smiling and very grave at the same time. Because he was smiling because, you know, Shiva doesn't know what he's getting into, and he's grave thinking, how is he going to put this together? So now, does this make sense? So therefore then, because no one can bewilder Shiva, but he's bewildered, so what does that mean? That means Krishna is greater than Shiva, and Shiva's appreciating that. You understand? And so we can appreciate Krishna's greater as long as we understand that what we're being overwhelmed by is Krishna's material energy. It's his potency. But if we identify with it, then we're going to make the mistake that I've done this, I've done that, when the soul hasn't done any of this. Krishna says in the Gita, the soul is neither kills nor is killed. Right? So it doesn't mean you don't get a reaction for what you do, but that's also by the laws given by Krishna. So then if you follow these laws to please Krishna, you're not under the modes. So yes, a result comes, but it doesn't carry the modes with it. So transcendental is a matter of the consciousness, not what you've done or what you're doing. It's why you're doing what you're doing. So it's just a moment. You know, it's like a dream. You can be having these wild dreams all night, but the moment you wake up, they're gone. It's not like, oh no, but you dream for 6 hours, you know, all these crazy things, and so therefore, you know, for 3 weeks, then we're not going to talk to you because, you know, you're not nice until you've purified yourself. No, it's immediate, because illusion doesn't have any substance. So, we may be going on in the material world and be involved in so much things that aren't ideal. But the moment we change the consciousness that we see things all in relationship to Krishna, that's all gone. So Lord Shiva here is enthusiastic, but the moment then he connects it back to Krishna, everything's put in its proper place. Right? No one's looking at it in another way. Right? So when he sets the example, this is the example of how to get out of Maya. This is the example. This is how it works. You know, so the by changing the consciousness that I'm not the controller and enjoyer, then we see is then it's a matter of seeing things connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? So, yeah. Okay. So now on, just on a detail here. So what's happening here? Mechanically, what's going on here? So Krishna's manifesting his, or exhibiting his Mohini Murti incarnation. And doing it in a very, attractive way. So then Lord Shiva is seeing that aspect. So in that aspect, even though he's attracted, means Mohini is Krishna, but is he attracted by the principle of Krishna? He's attracted by the secondary aspect of the feminine form. Right? The feminine form, the femininity, because we see is that the first attraction is the femininity. Right? You know, bouncing the ball, the hairs come loose, so bouncing the ball and fixing the hair at the same time. Does that make sense? These kind of things, just that intensity of the feminine nature. And then from there it goes, it develops. So, one is seeing the secondary. That's the whole point, is that devotional service means the secondary is seen in connection to Krishna and is used in Krishna's service. That's devotional service. So the secondary is there, but it's seen connected to Krishna. Material means you see the secondary and that's where it ends. To enjoy that secondary, that's material. To not enjoy that, but to engage in Krishna's service, that's spiritual. That's the difference. Does that make sense? So that's the reality of how things work. So it's not on the platform of karma or jnana. It's not, I work with it, I get the benefit, I don't want the benefit, I don't work with it. It's that I'm working with it to please Krishna. Therefore, if you work with something, that work gives a result. So therefore, results of action are automatically part of devotional service. They're not a separate thing. Sometimes we may say, well, you know, no, just depend on Krishna, all things. No, but, you know, I got to pay the bills, I got to be practical here. But the point is it's only through action that you get results. You can't get results in another way. And devotional service is not the action, it's the consciousness of which the action is performed. So if you perform the action with Krishna consciousness, you get the Krishna consciousness and you get the result of the action you performed. But without understanding that, we may make the mistake of thinking that, okay, there's devotional service, and you know, I chant my japa and you know, water tulsi and you know, do a few things like that, and then I have my practical life because I got to maintain myself. You know, the other stuff's really great and fabulous and all that, but let's be real here. So what does that mean? This is total illusion. It sounds great, but that's how the mode of ignorance works. It makes something that's stupid sound fabulous and something that's fabulous seem unimportant. That's just that's the nature of ignorance. It reverses. And so that means your logic applied in there is reversed. Everything's reversed. It's not that, oh, when I use my intelligence, then that's you know, on the transcendental plan. No, that's just mechanical. Right? I take a grater, okay? Now if I take a potato and I grate it, what do I end up with? Grated potato. Now if I take a zucchini and grate it, I end up with zucchini. So you apply the logical system in the mode of goodness, you get a result in goodness. In passion and ignorance, you get passion and ignorance. In pure goodness, then you get devotional result. But the mechanics of how the intelligent works are the same. So if you apply it in ignorance, you're going to get an ignorant answer. Simple. Not that I'm so smart on this. No. No one's so smart. Shiva thought he was smart. How did that work out? Right? So that's the whole point, is that Krishna's the most smart. He's the most clever. So no matter how clever and practical we say we are, we're not actually that much. Because if we were, why are we still here? Right? If we're really smart, we wouldn't be here. But we're still here. So that means we're not as smart as we'd like to say we are. But by but by devotional service, then that is intelligence. So being able to see the principal aspect of his connection to Krishna. So what happened here is Lord Shiva can't be overwhelmed by the material energy to see the external. But by his internal potency, he could arrange it. So he didn't see Krishna here. He just saw an attractive girl. That's all. That's secondary. Right? That's not being Krishna conscious. But as soon as the pastime was finished, immediately he came back to his position of Krishna consciousness and saw the whole thing in that way. And then he could see, yes, the Lord is so powerful. Understand? So we have to be able to make this distinction between this primary and secondary. That's what makes the difference on whether it is spiritual or whether it's not. It's that simple. It's not the form of it. It's the consciousness of it. That's why we're International Society for Krishna Consciousness, not the International Society for all kinds of forms and rituals that come from India, and we're not Indians, but we're international, but we're going to do it anyway. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole idea, is that that's the difference. So then it's a matter of, yes, we do things slightly differently if we're doing something wrong. In other words, if you're doing something wrong, you make it correct. If you're doing something right, you don't have to change it. Does that make sense? Right? Let's say you want to learn a recipe, and someone comes to show you the recipe. Now, if your cooking technique is all correct, they just have to show you how to use that technique in the application of this recipe. So there's no change. So if you're already following the Vedic principles, there's no change. But if what you're doing is wrong, you're not following the cooking principles correctly, and what you're going to do is going to get a wrong effect. Even though you've always been doing it, and this is how my parents always did it, and my grandparents, and my great, like that. Yeah, but that's wrong. So then you have to change it, because you can't get a very good result out of it. Does that make sense? So that's the process we're doing here. So secondary only needs to be adjusted if it's not viable. And so if things in passion and ignorance, generally speaking, aren't very viable. Things in goodness, then that's viable. You understand? So that's what we're talking about. Then you're trying to get that goodness to pure goodness, means it's goodness, but it's done to please Krishna, so that makes it pure goodness. Of course, then we could say, well, what if I'm using passion and ignorance for Krishna? Does that become pure passion and ignorance? You know? Yes, I'm not sure what you'd call that. Because it wouldn't be Vasudev Sattva, because that's pure goodness. I don't know. Maybe Maya Dhanava Sattva? I mean, or some Maya Dhanava, you know, something, yeah. Shuddha Maya Dhanava, I don't know. Yeah, so this is the consideration here, and if one's seeing from this platform, it makes so many things work so much easier. All the different cultural aspects, all the different things, because we're looking for, well, how to establish culture, communities, and relationships. This is the actual way that it's done. It's not a secondary technique. Because the techniques is that there's a million ways to do something. But if the primary aspect of connection to Krishna is not there, you don't actually get the result of Krishna consciousness. So that means unless you're adding Krishna consciousness in the steps, it's not going to work very good. Because we can say, no, but we'll work it out and then offer it to Krishna. Yes, that's great, as long as you end up offering it to Krishna. But if in the process you get distracted and forget to offer it to Krishna, then as the Bhagavatam says, it's a waste of time. Because if something pious is a waste of time not connected to Krishna, then how much of a waste of time is something that's not recommended to do? Right? Even though we like it and our friends like it and it sounds great and, you know, hey, the newscaster on CNN agreed with me, you know, and like that. And I read here on the internet that this is the latest trend in mentality, and, you know, it matches me. So still doesn't make it good. No. Krishna is the authority, and what he says, that's actual authority. Right? Just remember, when you're professing this point, stay away from cups of hemlock. Because that's generally, when you profess this, that's what starts to show up. Right? Does that make sense? No? Yes. In other words, people don't like that there's an absolute authority. People want to be their own authority. Well, naturally, they want to be everyone's authority. Like that. So, that's the problem. As soon as it's not, the authority is Krishna. The laws are given by Krishna. What we're supposed to do is given by Krishna. And then that's given to us in detail, how to apply that, by the acharyas. That's what's supposed to be done, rather than, no, we're different, we make up our own, we're unique, we're not exactly Westerners, we're not Indians, we're this new unique blend of I don't know what. So, yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah, so we have to be very careful that we see is that the solution we're looking for is in connection with Krishna, and Lord Shiva is showing that, how to get out of Maya. Is you step back and see that this potency that is, we're in Maya, is coming from Krishna. And only by surrendering to Krishna can we cross beyond it. We're too small to cross beyond one quarter of unlimited, right? 1/10,000, the tip of the hair. How long is it going to get over, one quarter? And we're not talking, you don't have to get over the totality of unlimited, only one quarter of it, right? It's never going to happen. So, when we take shelter of Krishna, then the whole thing, one quarter of unlimited, becomes reduced down to the size of a calf's hoofprint, right? And that's, you could calculate that. It'll be a little shorter to get over, right? Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. How are we doing? Okay. Any questions or comments? Or yes. Yeah, this here. 1 second. This little microphone here. Yeah. Just pass it back that way. Please. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So my question is, what is the exact number of threads that should be given to a small 5-year-old child for the Upanayanam?
How many threads?
Yes.
Means, and how are you defining threads?
The threads, as a Brahman is given the sacred, like, thread.
Yeah, okay. But I'm saying, how are you defining these threads? Because, there's one group of three threads, and that you can say is one group of three. You know what I'm saying? So you're counting that the three as one, or the three as three?
No, that's my question.
But I'm just saying, how you're going to count it, then we'll...
No, if you say three, that would be three. If you say six, that would be six.
Like, okay, that. So you're counting one group of three as individual threads.
Yes.
Okay, so three.
Because I was just in Udupi, and in Madhva Sampradaya, they considered Upa Sampradaya to give three threads to
three threads to a small child. They give five. Yeah, but that's a local custom, because we follow Manu and he says three, so... Yeah, that's right there in the Manu Samhita. So Manu's cool with it, so we're cool with it, so... And the Madhvas do something else. The Madhvas also, their sannyasis don't keep a sika or a thread, and so what they do, we don't have to do. We do what our acharyas gave us. Yeah, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya. Yeah, and so we follow our founders. So we follow Manu. Because they're the tattvavadis nowadays. So what's common, then we accept, and what's not common, we don't worry about.
Okay, the second question is that I'm currently reading the Mahabharata, and there is the two Rakshasas that, namely one that takes the side of Duryodhana's side, Alambusha, and the other one, Godakach, Bhimasen's son. My question is that as a society, I think that in the future, this society will continue to grow, and the laws that ISKCON sets will actually start to take over India. And so my question is, I met someone who had eaten both cow meat and human meat in a rehab center in Mumbai. And my question to you is, the reason I'm asking this is because Bhishma says in the Shanti Parva Mahabharata that when the king rules entirely according to the science of punishment, then Satyayuga prevails. And so as Brahmanas, I definitely consider your Gurukul a Brahminical Gurukul, which means that they would have to teach the Kshatriyas, the second class order, Varna, the science of punishment. So my question to you is, what would you say is worse, that a person to kill a cow and eat its meat, or for a person to kill the person who kills a cow and eat that person's meat? And lastly, the reason I'm asking is because it's also mentioned in the Bhagavatam that Rakshasas are above human beings,
Rakshasas are in the Antariksha, so they're considered more powerful. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the position is better. Because a human being, then, for them, they can take up the spiritual process and advance nicely. They can establish their religious process and this way elevate themselves back to Godhead. While those in the heavenly planets and the lower planets and this, they're simply living out the results of their karma. So the position isn't as good as the human for elevation and spiritual life. So that's the superiority of the human. But as far as mystic powers and that, then Rakshasas, Yakshas, and them are more powerful than humans. Not necessarily as powerful as the demigods, but more than humans. So the point is killing other living entities and eating them is not recommended in the scripture, because from doing that, then you yourselves, one of the reactions is you're going to be killed and eaten yourself. So not an ideal process. And then when you have the animals and all that, then depending on how many hairs are in their body, then you have that many births to get killed in this way. And so... Sorry? No, it's for anything. That's for anything. It's however many hairs are in the living entity's body. If they're killed for that many lifetimes, then you're killed. So cows are bigger, they have more hairs, therefore it's longer.
Mm-hmm.
in here, because we are short on time, best to get to exactly what your point is.
Yeah, so,
the whole history.
Hare Krishna, sorry. So again, back to the original.
But I'm just telling, it means you have to wait till we finish the answer, no? We started with the animals, and now we're going on to the humans. So the point is now, depending upon the position of the human, then it's also going to be more or less of a problem. Right? So then, somebody who's not very developed in consciousness, there'll be less of a reaction than someone who's developed in consciousness. So therefore, the Brahmins, then it's going to give you the greatest reaction. In the same way with the animals, the cow is going to give you the greatest reaction. So therefore, killing a Brahmin and killing the cow are put in the same category as reaction. So the point is none of that is good. So it's not one is better than the other. It's just a matter they're both wrong. You know, it's like, which is better, dropping a 5-pound hammer on your foot or dropping 3 bricks? You know, it's the same kind of thing. It's neither of them are proper, because that's not the system. Art means the Vedic system isn't that when somebody's punished and you kill them, you eat them. Like, you know, certain tribal groups do that. I think one of the groups that caught Captain Cook or something like that, and, you know, they appreciated his prowess, and so they ate him, you know. So we don't do those kind of things. So it's not that. So unless, if one is in a position of authority, the king, someone has killed the cow, then they punish them, then they're in that position. But ordinary people, generally, they avoid dealing in the punishment area. Right? Yes. They're the same, means the killing of the cow is in the same category. It's not that they're exactly the same, but it's in that category. No, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of who they are. You can't say it's just because they killed a cow they're a Shudra, because anybody could kill a cow. No, but the point is you're dealing with, if here is a Brahmin kills a cow, but you're dealing with a Brahmin. He has a bad day, he does something wrong, but you can't just because they did wrong then drop them. That's exactly what we're talking about here. You have to remember it's Krishna's modes that are functioning. So Krishna's modes that are functioning then make these things work. So we can't arbitrarily say they've done this, that's nonsense, that drops them down to a lower level. Because in any case, it's a matter of what can be offered in sacrifice. So Manu is mentioning that an animal offered in sacrifice, then by killing that animal, there's no sin. Right? But it's not that there's not a reaction. It means you won't go to hell. But it's not that there's not a reaction for it. Therefore, the term mung saha. Mum, I kill you. Saha, you kill me. But that's only in regards to animals that can be used in sacrifice. So the specific list of animals only that can be engaged in sacrifice. And so humans aren't one of them. So there's no system that they could be engaged. So you can't say that, you know, like this. And especially there's no connection between punishment and eating something. You know, it's not like you're punishing your goat and so then you eat him. It's a matter of sacrifice. The human sacrifice of Harishchandra. But this is just something to test him. But it's not a system. There isn't, Manu does not mention anything in this line. It's not part of our system. So we don't have, there isn't such a system. People take it like we see is that with Jarabharat, then they wanted to do human sacrifice. So demons may take these things up, but they're not actually mentioned in scriptures. They're not going to get any benefit. As we see as the people who wanted to offer Jarabharat, then the deity they wanted to offer it to killed them. So it's not a system. There is no system for that. And any of these systems anyway for the animal sacrifices aren't for Kali Yuga. They're only for previous yugas where people had the qualification that they could maintain a particular level of consciousness. So they don't apply to us at all. So there's no real need to get overly absorbed in trying to consider how to apply them and use them. Because they're not for us anyway. Yes? Krishna killed 30 million Yavanas. And Yavana specifically means one who's opposed to the Veda. You know, so generally they don't, if they're meat eaters, then they don't mind killing cows. But if they're vegetarians, they don't kill cows. But the point is they're against the Veda. That's the Yavana. A Malecha is a meat eater. And a Yavana, just a meat eater, but they can be a nice guy, but they're just a meat eater. A Yavana means they're against the Vedic version. A Malecha doesn't know about the Vedic version, but if you explain it to them, then they may see the benefit. A Yavana, they're opposed to it. They don't like it. They don't want to follow anything Vedic. So it's a mentality. Yeah, but the point is that we're talking about the laws of nature here. And then Krishna has given the laws of how human life can be progressive. So if violence is one of the principles to be avoided in the Vedic literature, so that's one of the main points, is to be nonviolent, to not steal others' property, to control the senses like this. So nonviolence is what's going to allow you to elevate yourself. So if someone's violent, then they'll never be able to elevate themselves properly. Therefore, avoiding violence is always the principle. And so, therefore, then someone doesn't kill animals. And so if someone is unlawfully killing, then that's up to the authorities, the administration or the kings, that they take care of this and correct it. Well, whatever is the proper way, appropriate way to do that. But that's their business. So the kshatriya is doing his duty, though this individual may not be doing theirs. And so it's the kshatriya's business to correct it. So the problem is that the rules aren't being followed. That's the problem. Right? So therefore, it's the king's business to see that the rules are put back into their proper form. That's what's going on. So it's not about... It doesn't get down to so personal like that. Okay. Yes. Sorry? Yes.
She bewildered Shiva. So was this two-time Mohini Murti with the same qualifications or specifications?
Means, was the two Mohini Murtis the same? It's the same Mohini Murti. It's just for the demons, then she only used the external energy. So passion, ignorance, that'll attract the demons, but not the demigods. But for Lord Shiva, then that won't have any effect. Because he wanted to see the Mohini Murti. He wanted to see that form that was enchanting the demons. So therefore, using the external energy won't enchant him, since the external energy is his wife. Right? So therefore, Krishna then used his internal potency. Same Mohini Murti, it's just that with one use the external, the other use the internal. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes. All the incarnations have...
All the incarnations, they have the form in spiritual world, eternal
yes.
forms.
Yes.
So do this Mohini Murti also? Yes?
Mohini Murti is there in the spiritual world. See, is that you have, when they are in the spiritual world, you don't necessarily have the form that's here. Like Nisringadev in Vaikuntha has a regular forearm Vaikuntha form. He's just called Nisringa. Means this is the same person, but he doesn't take on the forms like here. So Mohini Murti, her position is in the she's the deity of the last covering of the universe, right? So when it's covered with Pradhan, she's the Lord of Pradhan, and there she worshipped Krishna. And so then one has to be able to go beyond the idea that you want to hang out with, you know, nice looking girls to worship the Lord. Otherwise you don't get out of the universe. Is that okay? Yes. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. According to the text, it is said Lord Shiva semen.
Shiva?
Gold. Yeah, the semen, the discharge, becomes gold.
And silver, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to know if it's the same semen he discharged to get Ganesh.
If the same semen what?
He discharged to get his son, Ganesh.
Starts to get song?
His son.
Was the same semen discharged to get his son?
Ganesh. And then, if it is, what's the benefit? You want to know if he's solid gold? Ganesh is solid gold. Yeah. It's just, Ganesh was made by Durga herself. I think she took some dirt from her body. She was taking a bath and made it into Ganesh. And then he was the guard at the door. See, is that she would be taking her bath, but then because they don't really have much of an arrangement, Lord Shiva and Parvati, right? They don't have a house, and she might walk in while she's there. Right? It's happened before. And so then she wanted someone to guard the door, so she made, you know, but if she asked Shiva, then he'll have a guard, but the guard would be favorable to Shiva, so if Shiva came, he would let them in. So she thought, I have to make the person myself. So she created him. Then when Shiva came and wouldn't let him in, you know, he says, no, you're not allowed. Then he got upset and knocked his head off. So Durga wasn't very happy about that. So she said, hey, you know, this is my son, why are you doing this? So he says, okay, in the morning, first animal, first head that I see, I'll replace his head. So the first one he saw was an elephant. So that's how he ended up with an elephant head. So if that works for your question, then...
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your class and your example, Maharaj.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Mohini Murti is described as a temporary incarnation along with Hamsa. There's two of them described. A temporary incarnation.
Along with?
Hamsa and Mohini Murti. In a purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Kamsa?
No, Hamsa.
Hamsa. Okay. Well, it probably means temporary means you won't see them manifest as a regular thing. They're not like have a play position where they're always there and performing. So they'll just come for that and go. Like Vamanadeva will stay for the whole, you know, time and all these things. But they'll just come for a specific pastime and go. So many of the incarnations of the Lords are like that. They'll come for a very specific thing and then go.
And that Pradhan where Mohini Murti resides,
yes.
Does that Pradhan always stay as a... Well, the universe is going to the body Mahavishnu, but is she always... there a temporary aspect to that Pradhan
means
layer?
She's there, that's where she's situated, and then she may manifest here for pastimes. So any incarnation is eternal, but it's just a matter of how much they're manifest or not. So your major incarnations that you see are major pastimes. Those are the ones that are the most focused on. Right? So therefore, you know, Krishna and Rama and Balaram, Lord Chaitanya, like this, that's them we focus on. These other ones, then they're there for a particular pastime because it's the Lord we see in connection with Krishna. So for us, it doesn't matter how long the manifestation is, the connection's to Krishna. Right? It's Krishna who's come as Mohini. Like as we can see here is that him unagitated, he went back to his original form. You know, that he was there in his original form, Shiva had come to him. And then he disappeared, so then they're looking around and then this girl appears. And then when that pastime was over, then he appeared again. And then they interacted there. So that temporary aspect means this. It won't be a position that we're going to try to develop or use as a position of the eternal relationship with Krishna. Like that. So for us, we'll focus more on Krishna. Because those pastimes are always going on. It means then you can say Mohini Murti is going on because when it finishes in this universe, it goes to the next. But you see, Krishna will continue that the whole time. Right? It means Braj, he's always performing his pastimes. Now, then at a certain time, they become manifest where we can see them. Like Lord Chaitanya is performing his pastimes here. It's just there's a time that 500 years ago you could see them. It means everybody could see. And then now only, you know, those great souls they can see. But the pastimes are always going on.
Thank you. I just sharing with you, I found it interesting that Rupa Goswami in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita and Sanatana in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, they both use the word the Lord discussed.